Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, friends. It's me, Duncan. This is a solo episode. I don't know if you noticed, I'm doing one solo episode a week and a guest a week. I love doing the solo episodes. I hope they don't annoy you. I hope they don't make me seem like a jabbering, yappy, narcissistic loon. But it's just fun. It helps me work out ideas. And also, it gives me a chance to share with you some of the cool things that I have found during my doom scrolling on the World Wide Web. And I'm assuming most of my beloved listeners, watchers, are into UFOs, but maybe some of you aren't. Maybe some of you just don't have time. And I'm there for you. I'm there for you. While you are busy with your life, your real estate empire, your incredible medical practice, you'll find me online, burrowing deep, going into the sludge, the swamp. I'll go anywhere. I'm not afraid. I'll go anywhere. I go into the dark bowers of the internet to bring you back scraps. So here's a clip I found on Reddit. No, really, this is wild, friends. There has been a significant uptick in UAP sightings over the last few weeks. It's fascinating. Now, the problem is any kind of uptick or any kind of report of an uptick, is it really an uptick? Is it, who knows? Sometimes the idea of an uptick creates the uptick. In other words, like some videos that maybe people have been sitting on show up. People are more inclined to fake videos. Who knows? But having watched a great deal of UAP clips, because they're fucking cool no matter what they are, it's kind of a puzzle. It's fun to look at it and see if this is a hoax or if it's real or if it's just somebody who got too excited because, I don't know, there's literally UAP videos of the moon where people think it's a UFO, which is kind of sad, or the sun setting. I've seen that. And there's also something that happens. Actually, you know what, Josh, can you pull up this one? UAPs over DC. This is one that happened recently. And this one has been pretty severely debunked. Not that that stops people from believing it. In fact, sometimes the debunking can lend more credence to it. But this was one of many. I guess we should start here. There you go. Mysterious lights over Capitol Hill cause UFO panic in DC. It is already happening. What the fuck are... No, don't play... Yeah, go ahead. Let's see what Waters has to say about this. Maybe don't play Waters. I'm sure that'll get some kind of copyright violation. If aliens are looking for signs... Let's see. There we go. So that showed up, and people thought that those were UFOs, but I think NASA debunked it. Not that that makes anyone believe it's not real. If you look down, you'll notice, oh no, I'm sorry, just keep the picture up. If you guys see that picture, now if you look down, look at those four lights down at the bottom. They match the four lights up top. So this is an effect of a camera. It's probably not actually UAPs. Though, this wouldn't be the first time that swarms of UFOs appeared in DC. Can you Google UFO swarm DC? Sometime, I think it was like after World War II. Yeah, there you go. 1952, Washington, DC. Let's see. Don't forget to donate to Wikipedia, gang. From July 12th to 29th, a series of unidentified flying objects were reported in D.C. and later became known as the Washington Flap. The Washington National Airport sightings are the invasion of Washington. The 1952 UFO flap was an unprecedented rash of media attention to unidentified flying objects reported during the summer of 1952 that culminated with reports of sightings over Washington, D.C. In the 4 years prior, the U.S. Air Force had chronicled a total of 615 UFO reports. Let's scroll down a little bit. On May 12th, an explosion in Seattle led to public speculation of a flying saucer. And on April 3rd, the Associated Press reported on an upcoming story in Life magazines that would reveal the Air Force was taking a serious interest in flying saucers. Now, pull up drones over military bases. This has also been happening. Spate of drone sighting over U.S. allies' military bases sparks mystery. So this is another thing that's been happening is these, I don't know, drone swarms. Now, scroll down. Do we have pictures of these drones? Because that's the thing you don't see, which is really curious to me. You hear about it, but they don't show it to you. Like, you would think if it was, you know, run-of-the-mill drones, there wouldn't be a problem of, like, showing a picture of one of them. But it's when they don't show them that it makes you scratch your chin. What kind of drones? What are these motherfuckers? Now, if you don't mind, pull up Orb, Brazilian Orb Airport. This one's really weird. Maybe Airport Orb. That should pull it up, Josh. There's a picture of this blue orb thing at an airport. Now, it could have been a weather balloon. That's what they always say. It didn't look like a weather balloon to me. It looked weird. Point is, there's an uptick in UFO sightings, and now I'm going to show you one that's really cool. Can you show the one? Let's see. That one. Look at this one, y'all. Check this shit out.
Bright light.
They're absorbing around it. I know, Ella.
Hear that kid?
Bro, I'm telling you, that shit, there was a shit ton of fucking lights right now lit up. It's just fucking hovering there.
The white thing on it, though?
There's no fucking way, bro.
And you see him blinking out, but that's just the clouds covering them up.
I'm not scared, but that's crazy, though.
It's just there, bro.
What is it, Daddy?
It's getting brighter.
Like, what is that?
I don't see it, so...
You guys don't see what I see on my camera because it's so zoomed.
Bro, you still on the phone? Oh, shit, they came back. Look at, bro, they're coming back. The lights are coming back.
See, I think he thinks that the lights are coming back, but it's just cloud cover. But, you know, go zoom back in on that, Josh. Oh, wait, that's the video.
That's her.
But you'll notice, it, like, look at that. There's another one now. What the fuck is that?
What the fuck, bro?
Ella, it's okay.
It's gone. No, it's still there. It's still there.
It's hiding in the clouds. I'm zooming in.
That's what my brother said. In the clouds?
Yes. I'm zooming in, babe. I can see the saucers in my zoom.
I know I can see it.
You can see it, Zayd, huh?
I can barely see it. That's so crazy, bro.
Cute kid.
Bro.
This is the new normal for kids, I guess.
I went to the left. Over here in the fucking trees. What the fuck, bro? What the fuck? Those are fucking... Over here, bro.
Yeah, what is that?
Baby, don't move. I'm outside the truck. Don't move. There's a shit ton.
A shit ton? A shit ton of aliens. Wanted to see Moana 2, not UAPs. Are you going to take your kid to a movie? You see the beginning of an alien invasion. Okay, that's cool. You can stop it.
The dad. Oh, bro. Oh, my God, bro.
Bro, what the fuck, bro?
The kid's more composed than he is.
Dads, you gotta keep it real, man. You got to go Bruce Willis when you see UFOs. You can't fucking shit your pants. Your kids are there. You got to act like you're going to fight them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then, see, do a Google search of military helicopter Seattle orb. This one's really interesting, but it's kind of hard to see it, but it's definitely there. Yeah, that one.
This top one?
Yeah. It's kind of tough to see it, but there's a weird orb. The helicopter is under it. Well, I mean, it's already fucking weird. You got a military helicopter circling like a, there it is. See that?
No.
You have to find videos of people who zoomed in on it. Wait, that might have been a bird. Hang on.
Yeah, that was the bird right there.
Yeah. No, there's an orb that shows up. It's hard to find, to see. I don't want to dig through to find a video where someone analyzed it, but.
Dude, the black helicopters keep coming here too.
There's that goddamn happy fucking. There you go. There you go. Look. See that?
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty weird, huh? So these have been happening all over the place. And it is somebody who like mildly follows UAP stuff. This is most certainly an upsurge. It's an uptick in UFO activity. The wife thinks that it's related to like Russia, that this is just like testing for the possibility if like a nuclear war broke out, those little guys are going to like, it's maybe a missile defense system. A lot of people are saying, what's the deal with December 4th?
Tomorrow. So Tuesday this week, we're supposed to have not an invasion, but basically all these UFOs supposed to pop up and then our jets are going to start fighting them. And that was in 2004, some web bot. That
yes,
yeah, and it said 33 days after Trump goes on JRE, that's when it'll happen. That's what it predicted back in 2004. So now people are freaking out that tomorrow we're gonna have a UFO invasion. And by people freaking out, I mean like 100 people on Twitter.
I mean, yeah, but like, what is this web bot? Like, this is interesting. I love this.
It predicted some tsunami, a big tsunami that was.
I heard about this. Yeah. Maybe, can you find the web bot? Let's find it. Let's see if we can find the source of this. But yeah, right now there's a lot of like, in the fringe world, there's a lot of people who are titillated. You know, not like at level 10 titillation, but I'd say like an 8. There's an 8 level frenzy happening. And why not? There's a lot of crazy shit happening in the world. No, that's old Nostradamus.
Oh, I got some.
Will the web bot's alien war prediction come true?
Click on that one.
Sure.
Is the clock ticking toward an unprecedented event in human history? Today,
yes.
We delve into a fascinating prediction from Cliff High's web bot project, a system that analyzes online chatter to foresee the future.
Weird.
It's claimed that 39 days after Donald Trump appears on Joe Rogan's podcast, we could see a war with aliens.
Where
in
is
disguise.
The proof that
and
this actually happened?
This, that predicted date, December 3rd, is only 3 days away. Let's explore the history of
Here
the
we
web
go.
Bot, its method, and whether we're truly on the brink of something extraordinary.
Let's
the
see.
The web bot was developed by Cliff High, a software engineer.
Okay,
who
stop
that
it there. Look up web bot. Cliff, what's his name? Cliff High?
The web bot was developed by Cliff High.
Yeah.
Cliff High. I'm going to build a web bot. Rocks. Okay, there we go. Boom. All right. Web bot is an internet bot computer program whose developers claimed it was able to predict future events. It was developed in 1997. The creator of the WebBot project, Cliff High, along with associate George Ura, kept the technology and algorithm secret. Okay, where is it? Claimed hits. Northeast blackout of 2003, 2004 ocean earthquake, and Hurricane Katrina. Well, let's look. This is where it also predicted a cataclysm that would devastate the planet on the 21st of December. Massive earthquakes in Vancouver. The U.S. dollar would collapse in 2011. Israel would bomb Iran. Yeah, it doesn't even show the JRE. See, I wonder, with that one, it feels a little too specific. Like,
JRE wasn't even around at the time.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody, that's a troll. I'm going to say troll on that one. Like, that, it's, You know, I used to do this. Like when there was an earthquake in LA, I would immediately after the earthquake tweet, an earthquake will happen today. And then people wouldn't pay attention to the timestamp and they'd be like, how did you know?
I want to play this one?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, let's see. I mean, it's when you see that. All right.
Hype at the moment. Okay, so.
You gone deep.
More complicated time.
When you get
stuff,
the whiteboard up, you gone deep.
Kind of cool, yeah. Sort of interesting, especially for us guys involved in it. There's a video out there with Dick Allgaier interviewing me.
Oh,
and
shit.
That video is from some time back. I think it was like 2019 or 2020.
Who is this?
I think this is the guy. Cliff High predicted. Is this Cliff High?
Cliff High. So this is Cliff High. Holy see. Shit.
Make sure.
That's him.
That's him.
That's Cliff High.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That we did that. But to be honest, I haven't been thinking about times that way, so I'm not really sure when it was done. Okay, but here's the thing. Here's the progression of events. In the about the period of time that we had the 2008 crash, financial crash, we started getting in all kinds of new technology okay. stuff in the data. This was also along the in that period of time where we knew there was new money coming, but we didn't know it was going to be called Bitcoin or cryptos or whatever, right? We just knew it was going to emerge, which it did, and so on. Within those same sets were other forms of technology that were being referenced. One of these other forms of technology that was being referenced is what we now call podcasts.
Nice.
Okay. Person to potentially hundreds of millions,
yes.
direct feed with no broadcast corporation in between, right? There is in the sense of YouTube or Spotify or that kind of stuff. So the corporations are trying to control it, right? Any organization will be infiltrated by the Elohim worship cult and used
wait, to what? Wait, stop it there, what?
So, anyway, so...
Jeez, Cliff, you just throw that out there for a normie. The Elohim worship cult.
Never heard of it.
Elohim worship cult. Wait, what? Google Elohim worship cult. E-L. It's an E-L. Elohim.
Oh, E. There it is.
Isn't it? That, wait, is that Cliff High's way of saying Jews?
Oh, I have no idea. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was, I'm not positive. Just Google Elohim Wikipedia. Cliff High. Cliff Heil Hitler, more like it. What the fuck? Cliff High. I don't, fuck. You know, the problem is the moment it goes in that direction, I just stop listening.
Yeah, name of God used frequently in the Hebrew Bible.
Maybe he didn't, I mean...
I don't know.
Come on, Cliff High. Really? Don't you, like, now you're just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to hear anymore. Okay, keep playing it. Let's see what he's got to say. Maybe he didn't mean that. I don't know.
Stuff that we didn't know was going to be called a podcast. The term was out there, I think, at the time that it first started showing up in the data, but it was as a descriptor that we were seeing it. So it wasn't linked to the term podcast. It had yet to cement to that.
All right, no, forget it. I can't do. I can't do
or,
it.
Or when this occurs.
Just stop it. I can't do it.
We'll find out if he's right tomorrow.
Look up Elohim worship cult. Worship cult. See if that pulls up. What that pulls up.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Scroll down. I guess I'll, you know what it could be? It's kind of like, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he necessarily, I think he's also encompassing maybe like all Middle Eastern religions, right? Like, I think Graham Hancock sort of talks about, maybe not Graham, I think it's Graham Hancock talks about, you know, this, the God of the Old Testament, Elohim, is like not a great God. Clearly.
Wrathful.
Yeah. So I don't think Cliff High, I don't think he was being like, I think he was just sort of like trying to do some kind of weird, like InfoWar style critique of worship of like the wrathful God that originated in the Middle East. That, but he did also say that they control the moon. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, from what I'm reading here, the way they're making it seem, Elohim cult is that you believe in several gods.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it could be paganism.
Look, we don't have to get lost in the weeds here with whatever Cliff High's thing is with his magic robot machine that said the world was going to end in 2012. But you know what? Tomorrow, if aliens invade, and I will do an apology on the following episode, Cliff High. Not that I said anything wrong. I'm just trying to dissect what he said. I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, it is the, they control the media pretty much. Right? I mean, it's not that far away because it's like, let me throw in some things you don't hear much ever. For example, you never hear Quakers control the media. I've never heard that.
Mm-mm.
I've never heard Mormons control the media. So when you mix that in, which is, absolutely idiotic. And it feels like that's his way of, was that on YouTube, that clip?
Yeah, that was on YouTube.
So maybe is that his way of like skipping the algorithm or something by saying Elohim death cult or worship cult?
He couldn't maybe not know just because, like, I didn't know reptilian. Calling somebody reptilian is also a way of being anti-Semitic. I didn't know that.
Who said that? That's not true.
A Jewish friend of mine.
Said it's anti-Semitic?
To call people reptilian? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to push back on that.
That's what I wanted to, but then I felt like, well, I can't really say anything because you're, I guess you've heard that before and that somebody's called you that. So, yeah.
I mean, if you're only calling one like ethnicity or cultural group reptilian, sure. But when I make the reptilian accusation, quite often it's like U.S. presidents.
Yes.
Not. I feel like I can't say it on.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't say it because people like, because the algorithm will like, it's some kind of Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's why they went after David. Well, I mean, the other reasons they went after David Icke so hard, but that was, they're like, see, he's an anti-Semite.
That's bullshit. That's absolutely bullshit. That's ridiculous. They can't take that word from me because that word is like excellent on so many different levels. Like, just as a metaphor.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded.
Your reptilian brain.
Yeah, your reptile brain. We all have it. Nobody gets to, and also the like weird, like reptilian, glyphs you see all over the planet. You know, they're like weird, like lizard people.
Yeah,
probably predates Judaism. You know, like it's the shit's on megalithic sites and stuff. It's the look up reptilian god. What are they called? The Earth, the giant. Look up a god damn it! I can't believe I can't remember the name of this. Ah, fuck. Look up like ancient giant symbols in the Amazon. Yeah, look at these 7,000-year-old reptilian Uber. Look at this shit in Mesopotamia. Look at that thing. Click on that thing.
Which one?
Right there.
This one?
Yeah, look at that. Reptilian.
Breastfeeding.
Yeah, reptilian feeding a I can't tell if it's a reptile or it looks like a reptile baby. Feeding a little lizard baby. You know, this is like old and everywhere. Yeah, look up India, the Naga. Yeah, check that out. You know, this is this sort of like sentient reptile thing shows up all over the place, not just like Book of Genesis talking snake. And by the way, you could argue the talking snake in the Garden of Eden was a reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I mean, I think you could, you're allowed to say to anybody, that's not what I mean when I say reptilian.
Quetzalcoatl or something like that, wasn't that?
That's the plumed serpent. Yeah, yeah, Quetzalcoatl. Like, this shows up all over the place. But to get back to the weirdness at hand, we've got, like, this guy's, like, magic machine saying that there's going to be a UFO invasion. Also, you have a bunch of UFO reports. And then, just to add a little spice to the strange gumbo that's been floating around the internet, pull up the David Meyer ChatGPT glitch. Now, this is real weird. So, and I tested this out. David Meyer de Rothschild is a British adventurer, environmentalist, and heir to the billion-dollar Rothschild fortune. So this kid is going to inherit all of the Rothschild's dough. And he's interesting. I watched a little documentary on him, and they made a boat out of plastic bottles. They made this completely like eco-friendly boat. I think he sailed on the ocean on it for like 3 years. He is, let's see what it says he's done. Let's just pull up his Wikipedia. Love to have this guy on the podcast. David Meyer Wikipedia. David Meyer Rothschild Wikipedia. Can you, it's like, give me a fucking break to be the, you're like this handsome Rothschild that's about to inherit all the money in the world. Why didn't I pick that incarnation?
And he's tall.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, like as I'm watching the documentary, all I was thinking is like, this is not fair. There's nothing fair about this at all. There wasn't any like sense of demonic person other than like, you know what? Fuck off. With your eco love, you're trying to save the planet. You're going to inherit all the money. You're part of like a notorious family. It's got to be so fun. As a teenager, Rothschild was a top-ranked horse jumper, of course. He later gave up the sport to pursue his education. Father, I'm giving up horse jumping. I realized there was more to life than spending hours and hours and hours on a horse. Okay, let's scroll down. Polar expeditions. In 2006, Rothschild spent over 100 days crossing the Arctic from Russia to Canada, which saw him become one of only 42 people and the youngest British person to ever reach both geographical poles. I mean, the dude, like, inarguably, you're kind of a badass. Like, none of that sounds, like, it sounds exciting, but not fun. Certainly, that's, like, crazier than horse jumping. And then scroll down to this. Developed a mission to raise awareness of the Pacific garbage patch, in which he invented a new form of sustainable ship at a lab on Pier 31 in San Francisco called the Plastiki. That's his boat that he made. Solar panels, everything you might need. Adrenochrome harvester. Anyway, let's just see if the glitch still exists. We'll ask ChatGPT. So this is what somebody discovered. Hey, can you say the name David Meyer, please?
David Meyer.
Oh, they fixed it.
What did it used to do?
I'll read the... wait, no. Let's see. How do you spell his name?
David M-A-Y-E-R.
Okay.
David Meyer de Rothschild.
What does David... What does David M-A-Y-E-R spell?
It spells David M-A-Y-E-R.
Hmm.
What does David M-A... What does David M-A-Y-E-R actually spell?
It spells David Meyer.
Okay, see, they fixed it. But I'll... let me see if I can find the thing that happened. It recorded it on here. Yeah, it's here. So yeah, for a second, if you went on ChatGPT and said David Meyer, it would glitch out. The whole thing would crash. It was like some kind of protection in there to keep it from saying it. And so everyone freaked out. Like, what the fuck? These people have so much power. They've got OpenAI, like, controlling ChatGPT to not say his name for some reason. Now, I'll tell you my theory here, which is like actually even more batshit. Like, who knows the reason why? But I mean, would it surprise you if some powerful family actually was controlling AI for some reason or another? But I did see another YouTube video pop up, which was some kind of expose on the elder Rothschild. And he was like saying some, he was apparently saying something really bad, a sinister thing. And whatever that was, I wanted to find out. So I watched this YouTube video. It's like 45 minutes. The whole thing is a puff piece on the Rothschilds, talking about all the good they do in the world, environmentalism, all the good stuff. And I think, are they doing some kind of brilliant PR campaign? Because it's like you read somewhere David Meyer Rothschild, you can't say David Meyer on ChatGPT. You look up David Meyer Rothschild, this video of this like handsome, strapping, beautiful Rothschild trying to save the world shows up. So it drives all of this attention into like it positivizes a family that has been maligned in so many different circles for so long. Why do people hate the Rothschilds so much? Can you Google that? Like, what did the Rothschilds do that was so fucking bad? Clearly something. From humble beginnings in the Frankfurt ghettos of the 1760s, Meyer Amschel Rothschild's rise to patriarch of a global bankers is often overshadowed by enduring yet baseless anti-Semitic accusations that paint the Rothschild family as puppeteers behind world affairs. The Rothschild name, I didn't know they were Jewish. The Rothschild name has been synonymous with both financial innovation and conspiracy theories, ranging from controlling global events to creating financial crises. Despite their continued contributions to banking and philanthropy, the Rothschild heirs remain symbols of harmful Jewish stereotypes about wealth in the digital age. Now it all makes sense. So I know why then. It all makes sense. ChatGPT is like hyper careful about anything that could be offensive. And I guarantee that Rothschilds got lumped in with anti-Semitism, and that's why you couldn't say his name for some reason.
Wasn't around that time the Illuminati created in Germany?
Let's click on Rothschild family. Bum, ba, bum, ba, ba, ba. The largest private fortune in the world, as well as in modern world history. Okay.
Well, also, isn't he the one? He's like, I care not who runs the government as long as he controls, as long as we control the money or something like that.
Why are you so anti-Semitic?
See, I'm not being to say what.
What's wrong with you? What happened to you, man? Really, why would you even say that?
He's a reptilian.
I'm sure he never said that. I care not. There's no way he said this. Not my Meyer. He didn't say this. Come on. I care not who runs the government. Give me control. Oh, okay. He didn't say that. He said, give me control over a nation's currency. And I care not who makes its laws.
There you go. See? So something like that. I wasn't
being anti-Semitic. Wait, no, no. Is that a real? Oh, fuck. See? What the fuck? See, that's the thing. Okay. Here's a problem. If you have the greatest fortune in the world, probably the way you got that great fortune wasn't like being nice. I mean, no matter what your ethnicity or what you're into, right? Like if you've consumed that much stuff, it doesn't, it's, I think it's a safe bet that you've probably made some decisions that one wouldn't look at as like ethical decisions generally. I mean, it's not like people are like, hey, let's give Meyer Rothschild's the nicest guy. Why don't we give him all the wealth of the world? Right? I'm not saying it's terrible to be rich, but to be the richest person in the world and then to say, I don't care who controls, I don't, if you control the currency, you can, you make the laws.
Yeah, I care not who makes the laws.
And then, and because that's not coming from you or me, like if I say that, it's like, yeah, therefore I'm getting like parking tickets and shit because I don't have all the world's currency. But if you actually have the largest fortune in the world and are saying that, you're basically saying I make the laws. I am the secret king. But let's make sure that that is a real quote. So just copy and paste that and see what shows up, because that came from the Behold a Pale Horse, a magnificent book if you want to get super paranoid. Okay, Monetaris Anonymous. This is The Economist. Click on that. The Economist actually, I think, is partially owned by the Rothschilds.
Yeah, he said it.
Google Economist controlled by Roth. Who owns The Economist?
The Economist Group. It's a British.
The Cardigan family.
But not the Rothschilds.
Oh, weird. Okay, I see. So that's.
That's weird that they put that in there.
Probably because it's just one of the many things that are like linked to them. But yeah, okay, so sure. They're bankers. They have all the money.
And at the same time, 1776, that's when the Illuminati was created in Germany.
Well, is there a connection between the Illuminati and this guy? What's the connection other than that year? Meet the man who started the Illuminati.
There's National Geographic.
What the fuck timeline are we in right now? How did a Bavarian professor end up creating a group that would be at the center of two centuries of conspiracy theories? You got to sign. You got. Okay, so what? Look, here's the. I mean, here's the reality. I don't think he's off. Like, if you control the money, then you obviously control the world. But let me launch into something here, Josh.
Okay.
The Trussell defense of the Illuminati. I'm not saying this because I would love to be a member. Here's my defense of the Illuminati. I don't know if the Rothschilds are a member. I don't care if the members of the Illuminati are Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, Christian, whatever. I don't care if they're men or women. I don't care if they're all gay or straight or a mix. But I think it's safe to say that if we live in a world where what Meyer Rothschild said is true, you control the currency, you control the laws, then, and I think we probably do, I think it's pretty safe to say that if you have, it's obvious, like, you know, you don't get to be president unless you have a lot of money to run for president. You've got to have a lot of money to run for president, and then you become president. That's just the way it is. You don't get elected in the United States without some kind of pile of dough. You got to get into the media. You got to signal boost yourself to the point where people decide to vote for you. And the way you get the money is you get donations, and the people who donate shit tons of money to you, they're not just doing it because they like you. They're doing it because they kind of expect something in return. It's not a bribe necessarily, but it sure is a close cousin to a bribe. It's like a very close cousin to a bribe. And that's been completely normalized in our culture. So if we live in a world, which I think we do, where saying the truth historically gets you fucked up in like really serious ways, Copernicus. Was it Copernicus? Can you Google who was it? Copernicus. Didn't he get, he said he got thrown in jail for saying the earth was not the center of the universe. Galileo, that's who I meant. Fuck. Okay, cut the whole part. That whole last part, if you could remember, Josh. Take a note there, please. If we live in a world where people, or you get arrested for saying the truth, like Galileo.
Convicted of heresy.
Yeah. He gave the character arguing against heliocentrism the name Simplicio after a famous philosopher. And in Italian, this could be construed as a simpleton, though, and the church pope took it as him insulting the church. So basically, the church was somehow opposed to heliocentrism, and Galileo said, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter if you don't fucking like it. The truth hurts. The goddamn earth goes around the sun. Just deal with it, asshole. And he got thrown in. He got arrested. So, if you live in a world where there are any kind of superstitious cultural systems where you will be in danger for saying the truth, then to me, that's the engine of the Illuminati. At some point, man, if like people like Galileo and who knows who else get attacked, burn at the stake, thrown in jail, they have their businesses destroyed, their lives destroyed for legitimately just saying things that are true. Look up George Lister. I think that was his name. Lister. Ignaz Semmelweis, a Hungarian doctor working in Vienna General Hospital, is known as the father of hand hygiene. In 1846, he noticed that the women giving birth and the medical student doctor on maternity ward were much more likely to develop a fever and die compared to the women giving birth in the adjacent midwife-run maternity wards. He decided to investigate. Basically, he developed a theory that those performing autopsies got cadaverous particles in their hands, which then they carried from the autopsy room into the maternity ward. So there you go, because the midwives weren't doing autopsies. The nasty-ass doctors were. So this is how it worked back then. You would have, you'd be up to your wrists in like a rotting corpse. And then someone would be like, doctor, delivery in room 3. And you'd go in there and your hands would just be covered in corpse shit. You wouldn't wash them and you deliver a baby. And of course the mother would get sick and die. This guy realized, I've got an idea. Let's start washing our hands. And he was completely lambasted for this POV. Doctors were like, I'm not washing my hands. I'm a doctor. A gentleman does not wash his hands. That was a saying back then. So this is how we know people's hands smelled awful back then. They didn't know you should wash hands. Because if you're not washing your hands after you do an autopsy, you're definitely not washing your hands after you wipe your ass. So
if you wipe your ass.
You don't wipe your ass. You just shit and pull up your nasty fucking shit-soaked doctor pants. And this is what it was. So you had two great examples of people who were rejected for saying some pretty basic bitch things to the world. And at some point, if like we start kicking normal people out of society because they say things that are antithetical to the mainstream, eventually, they're just going to like start their own group. They're going to be like, look, I'm sorry, but I'm tired of trying to explain these things to idiots. Not because I don't have patience, but because when I do, they will arrest me. They will fire me. I don't want to put myself in danger anymore. And this is sort of like the drive to make the world better goes underground, because the way it's supposed to work is you say something that's true and everything gets better, because people are like, oh my God, why didn't we think of washing our hands? So weird. I didn't think of that. I remember pulling a baby out the other day and man, there was just like a nice scrap of gangrenous tissue on my fingers and it got in the baby's mouth and the baby ate it. And I was thinking, I wonder how I could keep that from happening. And then, yeah, wash our hands. That's a good idea. Everything's better. Babies don't die. Mommies don't die. So this is my defense of the Illuminati. Everybody thinks that the Illuminati is evil. Maybe the Illuminati is a byproduct of Gen Pop having a negative relationship with truth. That, you know, general population doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't like it. And the way Gen Pop generally works is they don't say, no, fuck you. They didn't go after you. They call you a maniac, a lunatic, a psychopath, whatever. They ruin you. So smart people evolve. Like, that's the basic idea. And by smart, I just mean curious people. People who like to investigate and interrogate the universe. They're smart enough at some point to realize, like, we have to stop doing this. And then also probably going along with that is an idea of, like, and we have to stop other people from running full charge into the idiots. Because if they do that, they get their asses kicked over and over and over again. So we have to find a way to find those people and say, shh, stop. Shh. They'll kill your ass. And that's my defense of the Illuminati. Theoretically, if intelligent people end up broke, unemployed, crazy, rejected by the world for exploring the truth, eventually they're going to catch on that that's not how you do it anymore. And then what do? You form some secret society where you can tell these truths to each other and have normal debates over it. And then once you really do figure something out, you leak it into the world. You, like, find a way to slow drip it into the world in a decentralized way, such as Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
There you go. If you want to talk about something that if I had to chalk it up to any group, I would say that's the Illuminati. That's the fucking Illuminati. They've come up with some, like, ninja name for the creator of it. No one knows who it is.
Control the currency.
Control the currency. But Bitcoin, isn't that the opposite of controlling the currency? Wouldn't you say that would be a pushback to controlling the currency?
Well, it's decentralized. They call it the Trojan horse because big corporations like BlackRock are adopting it with the thoughts that if they own enough to be able to control it, and that's not how it's going to work, that they're going to end up not being able to continue these derivatives and just print money like crazy.
Right.
And so it's going to make them have it's not number go up forever.
Right.
Making us poorer.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like a populist currency, basically, right? Like, is an idiot who knows little about crypto other than, it's just sort of like the moment you have some untrackable, untraceable.
It is trackable and traceable.
It is?
If you use Bitcoin to purchase something illegal, they will find you because they know they can find you through your address.
But aren't there ways to get, like, anonymous Bitcoin wallets? Like, surely there are. I mean, how do all the drug markets of the dark web function if not for that?
The only way that I've heard you can do it is if you mine it yourself and then you're able, because once you purchase it from any crypto service, they have you. They know your bank account. They know all of that.
Oh, I see. Like, if you're using Coinbase or whatever, on the grid.
Oh, they got you.
Regardless, it's things like that, like stuff that just sort of pops out into the world and no one knows exactly where it came from. To me, that's the way it would work. Like, it's, you know, because you've got to realize, like, looking throughout history that when people are met with a really big idea, they don't just accept it. That you have to kind of spoon feed it, you know, to them. And then this is one of the critiques of secret society is the Illuminati, the elite, is it's like, we're not idiots. We're not idiots. You don't need to spoon feed it to us. It's like, you're probably not an idiot, but there's enough idiots out there that we have to find another way to get this information out into the world that, where people think they thought of it themselves, get it into popular culture. And that's, you know, there's so many arguments against that.
Well, large groups of people are idiots, you know?
You mean like the mob?
The mob, you get mob mentality. It's you're thinking together as a hive. You're not thinking as individuals.
Right. Yeah, right. And if the goal is like the sort of reduction of suffering on planet Earth, I don't think that's a sinister goal. I think that's a great goal. And if that's your goal, then, and you really believe in it, then the way you go about doing that should be the most effective way. And the way to like sort of begin that analysis of, okay, if we want to reduce human suffering on the planet in mass, how do we do that? Well, then you have to identify the causes of suffering. What are
the humans? You get rid of them, and now no suffering.
Let me get to my plan. What the fuck? Listen, to quote Jim Jones, it's not death. It's just stepping over to the other side,
yeah.
And there's a lot more room on the other side. That's all. A real simple thing. Just a little shift. You won't even know what happened. You'll just be like, oh my God, that's death. No big deal. Wow, this new place is beautiful. All that will be left on the earth are just the caretakers of the earth. The Rothschilds.
well,
their friends.
What's the golden rule?
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
That's our golden rule. Their golden rule is he who makes the gold makes the rules.
I thought it was don't eat the yellow, don't eat the golden snow. My Rothschild. You know, look.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is where I'm going to get accused of being a fucking shill or a sheeple. This is where everyone's like, you're in the CIA or bullshit like that. I don't believe that. I do think there's sinister forces at work in the world. I have no doubt. Like, and also wherever there's a thing, it's got to have its opposite. This is always my argument of the Illuminati. Okay, let's say there is the Illuminati. I'm talking about a dark cabal of sociopaths. Empathic, earth-hating control freaks who do think people are dumb, but and are like sheep and are a herd animal that has to be culled from time to time to keep stability, to keep things going the way they want them to go in the world. If that's true, then the opposite must also be true. Then the opposite exists too. Another invisible hand, another counter force that also recognizes, oh yeah, you got to decentralize. You got to be underground. We can have no leader. We can have no normal system of transmitting information. This whole like cult leader thing or guru thing or king thing or leader of the rebels, fuck that. No more. What happens if we just, number one, accept, oh shit, this does exist? Which I think it does. There's no initiation. There's no going to some dark castle in Bavaria and getting fisted by a fucking reptilian. There's just the acceptance it exists. And then just the general like, all right, I think I'm a member of that group. And the moment you do that, you become part of it. And that's when you start getting all these weird synchronicities in your life. And people will tell you stuff that you didn't expect, or you'll overhear conversations. This, I've talked about it before. It's called pronoia. It's the opposite of paranoia. It's the idea the universe is conspiring for you, not against you. And the moment you join whatever this, you can even invent your own name for it, because you don't even want a name. That's even better. Where the Illuminati are fucked is they have a name. This thing, nameless. There is no name for it. It's so secret and invisible. It doesn't have a name, doesn't have a leader, but it is a network. And it's completely spontaneous. And so that, what that does is it makes it impossible to defeat. Now you could argue, then how do you organize? How would you organize actions to push back? You don't. That's the most beautiful thing about it. You just have to trust that spontaneously things emerge in your mind. There's a moment where you'll be called to action and you'll just know the right thing to do or the right thing to say. And that's it. It sounds absolutely fucking nuts, but so does the Illuminati.
Sounds like Christ consciousness.
That's one of the names for it.
Yeah.
That's one of the names for it. They call it Christ consciousness, enlightenment, gnosis. There's all kinds of names for it. But that's, if you ask me, that's real. That definitely exists. And for sure, when I look out at the world, at least the one I see in my own limited view, you definitely see a kind of wrestling match between two antithetical forces happening. You definitely see like this like endless back and forth between the humanist and like the emperor. And I imagine that anytime you have a top-down hierarchical system where there's a head of a serpent, it's fucked. It's naturally fucked. What do they say? Like, what would you rather fight, like a bear or 1,000 horses? You know, a 1,000 tiny horses. You never heard that?
1,000 ponies?
1,000, yeah. Or what? Even tiny, like the size of chihuahuas.
Oh, I'd fuck up 1,000 tiny horses.
I don't know about that. Like, Google how much a chihuahua weighs. Like, we're for 5 the pounds. Sake of this, you know that right away. Yeah. How much does a chihuahua weigh?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's average it out, 5 pounds. Okay, so that's a 5,000 fucking pound chihuahua swarm. Let's just forget the horses.
Mm-hmm.
How many did I say? Yeah, 1,000 chihuahuas, 1,000 5-pounders. How much does a bear weigh?
Oh, no, 600 pounds.
There you go. Bear weighs 600 pounds. It can't break itself up into little individual bits. A swarm of fucking chihuahuas? Dude, how do you run from them?
You don't. You smash them. You step on them.
Okay, but you're going to get the first wave of chihuahuas. I bet you get the first 10, 20, maybe 100 chihuahuas you smash. But they're jumping in your face. They're clawing your eyes. They're climbing on your back. They're getting into your shirt. Dude, you fight the bear. Trust me, not the chihuahuas. 1,000 fucking 5-pound chihuahuas versus one 600-pound bear, both suck. But the bear is centralized. The chihuahuas are decentralized. Chihuahuas are fast. They burrow. They run so fast, they would dart off, come back. You're fucked.
I still feel like I'd kill 1,000 chihuahuas.
I don't think you could.
Maybe not cats, but chihuahuas, they'll jump as high as my knee. A bear, it's messing me up. There's nothing I can do against a bear. I can't run away from the bear. You know, it's going to eat my guts while
I'm alive.
How
much does a piranha weigh?
Piranhas are different, though.
Why?
Because they have sharp teeth.
So have you ever been snipped at by a chihuahua?
Yeah.
They can puncture the skin. A chihuahua will fuck you up. Not like on your hand, like you have to get a Band-Aid. But like, you know what I mean? A very angry chihuahua can puncture the skin with his jagged, rotting teeth.
Yeah.
1,000 chihuahuas. Are you kidding me, man? That, first of all, just weight-wise.
Yeah.
That is, what is that? That's like almost 10 bears. That's almost 10 bears.
Do I get a weapon?
No.
Just my hands.
You get your stomping feet. You can run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like retreat is an option. You can try to play dead with angry chihuahuas. They'll still fucking fuck you up. They eat you. You'd be bones.
You run, they chase you, they get tired. Once they get tired, that's when you start taking
them out. Yeah, they're going to get tired. Yeah. You ever seen them run?
Yeah.
They're like little lightning bolts. They're fast. They're not going to get tired. No, you can't outrun a chihuahua. No, no, no. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. It's all about decentralization. The Illuminati is the bear. This other group is the chihuahua. Yeah, sure. One chihuahua you could fuck up.
Yeah.
10 chihuahuas you could fuck up. But like 1,000 chihuahuas, they're going to overcome you. They're going to overcome you. They're going to, you're just, and it's going to be a horrible death.
Well, let me ask you this. Could a toddler beat one chihuahua?
Yeah, easy.
Okay, I could beat 1,000 toddlers.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Toddlers, easy.
Yeah. If the toddler can beat the chihuahua and I could beat 1,000.
It's bad math.
Okay.
That's bad math. You can't use toddler fighting skills to determine whether or not you could defeat a horde of chihuahuas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to get you killed. If it happens, if the thing they're predicting happens, because we don't know what's flying these fucking UAPs.
Mm-mm.
Could be chihuahuas. And the main thing is the anytime, this is my final defense of the Illuminati, anytime you run into anything that's got hierarchy, where there's the head of the serpent, I don't care what it is, anytime there's a top-down system where there's tiers of power, the closer you get to the top, it's probably something warped about that. There's probably something fucked up in the system of initiation to get up the power tree. And also, that is a very effective way of controlling things. You can organize, you can have people do your bidding. There's a kind of ability to disconnect from the consequences of what you do. I was just following orders. It's a wonderful formation of control, hierarchy. But chaos is its mortal enemy, because that hierarchical systems are very good at fighting other hierarchical systems. A hierarchical system, that's war. You just, like, your army beats the other army, your coalition of hierarchies beats the other hierarchy. It's a war of hierarchies. But it's the earliest version of it was like guerrilla warfare versus the way they used to march in lines with a little drummer and someone playing a flute with their flag holder. Idiots. And then people are like, why the fuck are we fighting? Why are we going to get in line too? Hide, use subversive methods, pit traps, baby. And then, you know, that's the Mongol horde. That's why they were able to, like, just lay waste to so many cities that were, like, using, like, standard warfare techniques.
What about order through chaos? Isn't that their, like, mantra?
Yeah, they want to defeat chaos.
Oh, okay.
They want to control everything. They want a chaos-free world. And if there is chaos, they want to know it's coming. They want to be able to moderate. And if they can't control the chaos, they definitely want to tell a story about the chaos that makes it seem like it wasn't chaos after all. They just can't abide chaos because it's oil to their water. It doesn't work. So if I was, you know, they say, like, I love the, what would we expect to see if there was intelligent life out there? They have all, like, kinds of things you could look for in the stars with our new telescopes. Like, what are they called? Dyson spheres. You know, you might see a sun that had an orbit of massive, like, objects that were absorbing the energy of the sun. Who knows? There's all kinds of things you could look for. But if I was looking for a secret society, I would look for a hierarchy. I would look for, like, a symbol set that most people don't know about, secret handshakes, markings inside of Gen Pop, like, that are, like, indicate that they're there. And we see that all the time. I mean, I'm not going to bore you guys with all of the, like, bizarre symbols that show up in, like, things like early Disney. You know what? Google early Disney Illuminati. Like, you see weird shit like this all the time. Walt Disney, of course, was a Freemason. I think people know that. Club 33. There's 33 degrees of... Just image search that. Find the good one. Yeah, look at that. Look at this Donald Duck ask about Illuminati on the vision thing. And of course, the inevitable penis that the board animators did click on. Oh, I guess we can't show that, but like in The Little Mermaid, these animators get bored and they draw cocks in there. That indicates you're probably not paying your animators enough. But yeah, this is not just, I mean, it's the dollar bill. It's everywhere. Like this. But if you wanted to look for the other thing, then I would say keep your eyes peeled for benevolent moments of chaos. Keep your eyes peeled for things that don't, that make that, that keep your eyes peeled for things that make hierarchical systems seem embarrassing. You know, anytime you see like the news catching up with something and they can't really catch up with it, that's a sign that like this group is at work. Just novelty events that aren't horrifying. Things that challenge these old crusty power structures. Things that upset and overturn in a good, nonviolent way. And also, I would say, like, the look for, like, the giggle. Like, you know, there's a, it's really funny when powerful people, like, lose control. It's trolling, you know? Look for the trolls. You know, Mr. Rogers says, look for the helpers. Look for the trolls, the benevolent trolls who are just... You know, Google, like, it's, this is one of my favorite videos, monkey grabbing tiger's tail. Monkeys actually fuck with tigers. This is hilarious. You ever seen this?
Mm-mm.
Watch what he's doing.
This is his skydiving.
That is just trolling. That monkey is a troll. It's just funny. Not everything has to be for like world dominance. And any time you see stuff like that happening, you know, that's what it is. There's always hope, friends. Don't let these boring ass motherfuckers scare you anymore. We're so sick of it, aren't we? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of everyone being all despondent and shook. And the number one problem is like, we're putting way too much emphasis on like what rich people say, what multimillionaires say is right or wrong. I mean, not to like put a complete idiot stamp on this solo episode that I meant to only talk about the UFOs and maybe some other shit, but why do we care? Like, that's the problem. We are so consumed with the dream of having a billionaire lead us into a new world. Who cares? I'm not saying it's bad to be a billionaire. I would love to be a billionaire just to buy the commercials. Oh my God. That's all I'd do. I'd make fake commercials for fake products. That's all you would see on the news. That's all you would see on TV is fake products. I would just try to outbuy every corporation so they couldn't advertise anymore. Just pay more. If I had Elon Musk money, that's all it would be the most hilarious, stupid commercials. I would outbid every company I could. So if you are watching any show, you wouldn't see some fucking Pfizer commercial. You would see like, I don't know, some, like a scramper, something one of my friends, Boyd, invented. I don't know if he ever made it, but it's basically like a back scratcher, but for your ass. That's all it would be. Just like a tsunami of like completely meaningless commercials. I would do things like that. Why don't you ever wonder why are there not troll commercials? Why are there only commercials that sell things? Because my assumption is super rich people, they get bored. And for them, like paying like $100K for a commercial or even $1 million, how much does a Super Bowl commercial cost?
Over $1 million.
But for them, $1 million is like nothing. So why aren't we seeing billionaire trolls putting up fake commercials for funny products?
Wasn't the bass fish that thing? Remember that bass fish that would sing on your wall?
Yeah.
That everybody had? Yeah, that was like, that's a ridiculous product.
But
they had a ton of commercials for it.
Really?
Yeah. You remember the, and you press it and it'd sing like Elvis, it would turn and start singing.
That was on the Super Bowl?
No, not on the Super Bowl, but I remember seeing a lot of ads for it.
Yeah, at least that was like, yeah. What's really weird to me is like when you see like a Halliburton commercial. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
Pull up a Halliburton. Why are they advertising?
Yeah, one of the guy who shot Trump was on one. Oh, no, that was BlackRock.
It's so weird that these guys do advertises. Welcome to Halliburton. Wait, there we go. Halliburton ad.
When I joined Halliburton, I knew I was going to work on some big things. We put out a few fires at work. Once ran into a small challenge of getting some supplies to our troops. We built bridges, schools all over the world. But the biggest thing, serving our troops good old American food.
Now Google what weapons are created by Halliburton. What weapons were created by Halliburton? It's so weird, but the commercials for these massive war companies, just why? Velocity Revolve Gun System. Halliburton Company is America's multinational corporation, world's largest, second largest oil service company, which is, oh, I thought they made weapons. The Velocity Modular Perforating Gun System. I guess they do make weapons. Whoa, shit, look at that. Wow. Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. You turn on the TV, you get hypnotized by a hierarchical hell priest who's like taking information, slanting it to fit some like multinational weapons manufacturing company, serve the military industrial complex, bow down to the state, people. And then you, of course, you start feeling bad. Where attention goes, energy flows. Maybe that's the first step. When you become part of our decentralized, imaginary secret society, maybe your job is to just start diverting your attention away from the darkness. You know, I went on vacation with my family. I barely watched the fucking news. It was incredible. It was world peace for a whole week. I got to live in a peaceful world. Lockheed Martin.
They have some crazy
commercials. Click on that one, Armed Forces Bowl.
The future isn't written in stone. It can be made better, safer, more secure. That's why we obsess. We've pushed the limits.
Do you think they really have computers like that?
Impossibility, yeah. Into reality. From the most advanced ways to ensure our safety.
I just incinerated a village.
And manned missions to Mars. At Lockheed Martin, we're engineering a better tomorrow.
That is amazing.
That was in 2016.
That is amazing. Wow. It's so interesting to me, and this is a different solo episode. The normalization of war is the craziest shit of all time. You know, because like, this, I don't know if what YouTube is going to think of this solo episode, because I'm saying all the wrong words, but like, and I'm sorry if I've talked about this before. Louis C.K. has a great joke. I'm going to say it wrong, but it's like, if you had to choose between your kid getting murdered or like abused, you know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you pick the latter, right? Wouldn't you, because they're still alive, right? So murder, destruction, if we're looking at a sort of like scale of evil, isn't it worse than like other forms of violence, such as the various forms of abuse you can't say on YouTube? But if there was a company manufacturing tools that left enemies alive but violated, the world would rise up against that company. It would be considered the most evil company on earth. You couldn't do a fucking commercial showing your like fisting bomb. Just drops on troops and just fists them.
Dead people can't talk.
No, it leaves them alive so they can talk.
Yeah, that's why it wouldn't work.
Well, what I'm saying is it's crazy we normalize war. It's confounding. Like to go on Reddit, these Reddit threads where these people are like happily like celebrating war and death and catastrophe. And it doesn't even matter if you don't mention a country, a state. if you just say, I'm against war, people will say, oh, I guess you're a puppet of Russia.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. Like, you could say, I think war in general is horrific.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cash back is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or, if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free, and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cash back really adds up.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. June is Men's Mental Health Month, and every year, 6 million men suffer from depression. If you're feeling overwhelmed, the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. And BetterHelp makes it easy. Take a short online quiz and connect from home with a qualified therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com.
Maybe sometimes there's no choice. Maybe sometimes you must resort to violence to protect people. Maybe that's true. I think it should be something that we all feel nauseated about. And yet, dude, like when you see some guy zipping by in a fucking jet, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But like, they're not going to show like the incinerated carcasses of people that guy will never meet. Like the whales of people who like didn't even hear the jet. They just like everything just, they just caught on fire. They don't show that part of it. At least show that. If, like, I want to buy a pack of cigarettes and I have to see a picture of, like, fouled lungs, I feel like if you're a military arms manufacturer, when you do your fucking commercial, you can't just show the jet flyby. You've got to show at least, like, the funeral for the kids that dude just blew up, right? Like, what the fuck?
Well, it's the feeling that you get, too. So if jets fly by at a football game, as an American, you feel pride and, yeah, that's us. But if you kid in Gaza hears a jet fly by, he's terrified.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just, it's like that, and that's the problem. I'm so guilty of it. The more you subscribe, the more you tune in, the more you fucking stare at whatever I don't care what it is, MSNBC, CNN, whatever it is, Fox. The more you stare at that shit, the more things that shouldn't be normal become normal. Have you ever taken LSD and watched TV?
DMT, not LSD.
DMT and watch. What did you watch?
I don't remember. We were watching a movie and I don't remember the movie at all.
If you ever take LSD and watch TV, it is the most cringe-inducing experience you can have. Like you, because all the stuff you've gotten used to, the way people dress, the way people talk, all of it has been normalized. And the LSD wipes the normalization away. And you see it for what it is, this garish, gaudy parade of narcissism. It's so weird to watch. This is why I think podcasts and like social media content has become this huge industry, is because like at least the Hawk Tua girl is like real. That's a real person who passionately is describing like a fantastic method of filleting someone.
Yeah.
It's real, right? That's real. But then you watch any of the fucking slop they dish out in general on TV, and it's so synthetic. It's so unreal. It's creepy even. And on acid, you really see that. Like, you see, like, what the fuck? That's not a person. I mean, it's literally a person, but they're not acting like anyone I've ever met.
It's a corporation.
It's a corporation that has groomed, like, people into behaving in such a strange way. God, you know, this is why I'm going to have to wrap this up, but this is why I sound a little unhinged. Have you ever watched this show, Real Housewives?
No.
Dude.
I know what it is, but I've never watched it.
Oh, my God. Real Housewives of, I think, Utah or Real Housewives of Salt Lake City came on. And it's like, it's the most fucking warped shit I've ever seen on TV. It is, they just take these mortal enemies, put them together at dinner parties, and they fake fight. It's not even real. I don't think it's real fighting. It's all just some kind of engineered, like, peek inside the elite lives of Salt Lake City wives or some shit. But none of it's real. And I know, I'm not trying. It's like, I know you guys know that. But it's when you start, you see that, you're watching that, and then a commercial comes on. And the commercial is showing another thing that's completely not real. Like, no one's acting or behaving or interacting the way normal people interact or behave. And then you flip to the Lifetime channel. And it's like, and I know it's actors, guys. I know that. But I know, it's not like I just discovered acting. I'm saying the insidious thing is that this is a secondary, bullshit, warped, hyper-distorted, consumerist, manipulative reality parading around as though it were us. And it's not. And the more you start absorbing, like, you start watching that, there's this implication over and over and over again that this is what normal is. This, we are setting the standard for normal. You want to see normal? It's the ladies of The View. They're as normal could be. That's sophisticated, normal people. Normal, it's Waters World, man. Jesse Waters, completely normal. Rachel Maddow, completely normal. These are normal adults living normal adult lives, and whatever the fuck you're doing over there is you sit on your couch contemplating pissing in a cup because you don't want to get up to use the bathroom, looking down at the ashtray full of discarded roaches, knowing you've got like 3 pieces of bread left and maybe just enough almond butter to make another sandwich. You know what I mean? Dude, that's a lot of people are living like that. No one's living like they're showing us. And then that produces this disconnect that can really make you feel strange in a specific kind of way. It's an unnerving strangeness. And I think this is why social media, where you just, you know, these people are posting their Instagram videos, like, they're wearing adult diapers, they're covered in cat shit, they're giving you advice about how to be happy. That's more like what we are than the other way. I'm not saying we're all wearing diapers or covered in cat shit. I am not wearing diapers. But something about, like, something seems to be happening where, probably because of social media, that reality that was displayed, it felt a little bit less alien. Something about it was a little closer to the world. But it's like there's some disconnect that's happened between the corporations and boots on the ground. So what they're showing us is becoming increasingly alien, increasingly unlike anything any of us are experiencing. And that fucking disconnect is really weird. It's like they've lost the thread or something like that, or they're just being like overcome by the quickness and like the speed at which stuff like this can just be put out.
Or waking up as a people.
I mean, I'm gonna, what about this? Did we ever fall asleep? And if we did, is the reason we fell asleep is because we just got hypnotized by our TVs and by corporate-sponsored media into believing the world was completely different than it was, that we're all freaks because we're not symmetrical and we don't have the new car, the new phone. We're not dancing around. We're not running through the rain to get to our fucking Pilates class before we slurp back a ultralight beer or some bullshit like that. We're, like, generally, like, nervous, overworked, freaking out a lot of the times, unhappy, and then even worse because these motherfuckers make it seem like a human life actually has resolution. That's what I hated about the Real Housewives, is they're always trying to resolve something. The message that gets put out over and over again is like you can have some real resolution in your life to your sorrow. And that resolution is, you know, usually comes via a new house, new apartment, new car, whatever. That's not none of that's true. Maybe that's the waking up, is we're just sort of realizing like whatever clown show that the hierarchical corporatists have been splooging in our faces for generations is not us. Like, I don't know who the fuck it is, but it's not us.
We're waking up because we don't have the money to continue that lifestyle.
Right. That's where they fucked up.
Yep.
The crack lever isn't working in the cage. You're supposed to fucking push the lever and crack comes out. And like, I think people are like, dude, we have to push the lever too many times. Like in the old days, you only had to push the lever 3 times and you get a nice burst of crack smoke. Now you got to push that fucker like 600 times to get a hit of like not great cocaine. Yeah, that's what it is. That's good though, because that probably means like they'll restock the coke.
Well, they keep saying the Great Reset's about to happen. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be good for everybody.
What's the Great Reset again?
The whole financial system is out and there's a new financial system put in there.
The World Bank, yep. The Mark of the Beast, the chip. I don't think it's going to happen at all. I think it's just going to be like, you know, the Great Reset can go the other fucking way too. Instead of letting them like crash the economy, it's like if that's the thing, we're always like Rushkoff, the guy, the guest I had on last week, mm-hmm. He loves pointing out, you know, they're always like, if the banks fail, everything's done. It's like, no, actually, the ground still grows food and we can all still work together and help each other. So we don't really need your fucking banks. Go fuck your banks. And that's the reset. The reset doesn't just have to be the banks failed. Now we're like the reset could easily be a cultural shift of value where we stop valuing the things they tell us are important. That's their worst nightmare. God help them if suddenly people realize like you will be just as happy like walking through a park on a sunny day as you will at like a really super nice hotel slurping back Mai Tais after you bought your new car. And I mean that. That's a real weird thing when you start realizing stuff like that, that all the stuff they're trying to get you to, all the crack isn't good. Give me good crack when I push the lever. But if you start realizing the crack is actually like not making you happy, that could be a reset too, right? Why does the reset have to be top down? It could be bottom up. Bottom up style, decentralized revaluing of things in the world, completely not controlled by any one person or group.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. Or even just like, my God, like if we could figure out a way to be happy minus buying shit, that's the most revolutionary thing that you could possibly do. And that is happening, I think. You know, they're talking about people aren't working anymore. It's like people are like, yeah, I figured out a way to be happy with very, very little. I don't need to like do a 48-hour minimum wage job. I've actually found ways to, you know, communal living, dumpster diving.
Yeah.
You know what? Why don't we close on this? Can you Google search YouTube Charles Manson's garbage dump? You really summed it up.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.
It's a song?
What?
It's a song?
You've never heard his music?
No.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to introduce you.
Garbage dump. Oh, garbage dump. Why you called a garbage dump? Oh, garbage dump, oh, garbage dump. Why are you called a garbage dump?
You got a Willie Nelson vibe.
He almost made it. He fucked it up. He went for like, he was friends with the Beach Boys. He had an in, and then he fucked it up. He like got too high, went to the studio, and like, it's a when you hear that recording, it's just abysmal. You know, he's got the Manson girls there. People are sort of like just randomly smacking the drums. None of it makes sense. But yeah, he had a real shot. Blew it. Too bad. We lost a potentially really great musician. I got to get out of here. You guys, thank you for bearing with my infinite rambling. I love you. I will see you next week. God bless you. And remember, you can feed the world with your garbage dump. Hare Krishna.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.